Woo-woo! Good Tuesday morning, everybody. Hope your day is off to a fantastic start. Probably not as good of a day as Patrick Mahomes is off to, because he's got nearly $500 million coming his way, potentially. We'll get to that in a moment. How are you guys feeling this morning?
Man, I'm feeling like broke as hell. Cheated.
That's what I feel.
We in the same spot. I feel broke as hell. I thought I was doing something.
All them hits I took.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should see if you can get any sort of hazard pay.
I was born too early, though, Travis. I'm happy for him, though. He deserves every penny and then some. I mean, I'm so glad to see that a team just made a decision without playing games on a guy who won the Super Bowl for him, and it feels good. I feel good for him. You know, it felt like I
yeah,
just got paid.
How could you not? I mean,
well, it felt like I just got paid and got a contract. It really does, because, you know, having the fortune to notice, you know, I actually know Patrick Mahomes. I've actually sat down and had lengthy conversations with him, not only in an environment sports journalism, but also just in an environment of hanging out and chilling. And he's just a cool dude, down to earth type dudes, and I've had these conversations here since he won the Super Bowl about his personal life. People ask me all the time, is he going to get a new girlfriend or a new wife and all those sort of things, and I'm like, he just don't seem like that type of dude. But, you know, when you got $550 million sitting at your fingertips in 10 years, you know, a lot of things could change in 2 months.
They can change pretty quickly.
You start getting new friends and stuff like that. I didn't know he hung out with Drake.
Knew everything. I mean, that opens up some doors that are going to remain closed to most of us.
I immediately made some phone calls, gentlemen, to NetJets and Wheels Up and a couple of other FlexJet and a couple of other companies, just to see, after the news broke, how many new flights from L.A. and New York were being asked to fly into Kansas City, Missouri. I was just curious to see if there was an uptick in activity at the airport by private planes, because I believe Key is absolutely right. You know, it's one thing to win the Super Bowl, and we've seen tons of people, tons of quarterbacks, tons of young, good-looking quarterbacks win the Super Bowl. But it's rare for them to win the Super Bowl, have the swag and the bag all at the same time. Like, that trifecta, you don't get to see that very often. You usually get one, maybe two. But all three, you got the swag, the bag, and the ring, and you're not even, what, 25?
Yeah, he's 24 years old. I don't know. The other part that he's got going on is that he's universally liked. You know what I mean? There's not this faction of people that dislike him. Even Tom Brady, who's a great player, had a lot of people that don't like the Patriots, had a lot of people that don't like him. He's just a really amazing guy. We'll talk more about him coming up. That's good news for him. What's good news for us and what's good news for the Lakers is that Dwight Howard is going to go into the bubble. Dwight Howard is going to play for the Lakers. It had been in question. We weren't quite sure whether or not he was going to rejoin the team, but he made the announcement last night on CNN with Don Lemon that he is, in fact, going to join the Lakers in Orlando.
That's a big, huge plus for them. It gets them their big back late in games, a guy who, you know, as we know, does some things defensively that will alter shots, and he's a big force in the middle, and he's a playoff guy. He's been in the playoffs. He's played in the playoffs. It's exciting to know that, you know, outside of Avery Bradley, they're going to have their entire team as of now headed to Orlando, and you certainly was questioning what they would do if he decided not to go to Orlando with the team. But, you know, that the thing is he realized at the end of the day he had a chance to win a championship. It's the Lakers' time right now. And I'm sure from a family personal standpoint, that got figured out at the level that it needed to.
Yeah, I am, you know, like I'm happy for Patrick Mahomes, I'm similarly happy for Dwight Howard, because he was trying to juggle a lot. And I love the fact that he found a way to have as much as what he wanted done. You know, it's true. Sports are a distraction. That's what they're designed to be, a distraction. And so the concerns that were brought up in terms of if restarting the league, if restarting sports would be a distraction from this moment, that's a legitimate question. And while it's been said that we can do both, it's good to see someone like Dwight Howard demonstrate exactly how it can be done. I think it's important that the players have Black Lives Matter on the court. I think it's important that both the WNBA and the NBA will have names and slogans to remind people of the moment. But resources, anytime you can lend resources, that's a huge plus in this conversation. And so Dwight Howard donating the remainder of his salary to causes through the funnel of his organization, Breathe Again, is phenomenal. Now he can play and he has peace of mind knowing he's playing for something bigger than himself.
Yeah, no, this is a win-win because he gets, like you said, he gets to focus on the things that he wants to focus on. And from a purely selfish perspective, from a Laker fan perspective, from somebody that wants to see the Lakers make a run, this really increases their chances. Without him, they had a chance. With him, they have a very good chance. And there's a mile of difference between those two things. That they're already going to have to tinker a little bit. Like you said, Key, Avery Bradley's not going back in. So they're going to have to figure out what to do with his spot and his minutes and how to divvy that up. Dwight Howard, I know it's not their starting center, that's JaVale McGee's role, but JaVale McGee only plays about 16, 17 minutes a night. Dwight Howard was the guy that would eat up most of the minutes at that position. When they needed that big body on the floor, he was the guy more often than not that was out there. That was going to be a hole that was not easily filled. I don't want to say that replacing Avery Bradley is easy, but it's easier for sure than trying to replace Dwight. So that Dwight's able to donate money to the Breathe Again cause, that Dwight's able to, you know, feel good about himself and continue that work that he felt was necessary to do, and can do that with the money that he's going to donate there and be with the Lakers. It's just, it's a huge win because not having, I know we all said that him not being there would be a big deal. I think it was bigger than a big deal. I don't think it was a fatal blow had he decided not to go, but it would have been something that took their chances from, you know what, the Lakers might be the team to beat. They're the team that everybody's gunning for too. They're one of the teams that has a shot. Dwight Howard could be the difference between those two things.
Well, you know, it's very true that he is a big difference. It wouldn't have been a fatal blow, but it would have been a blow. And I think when you look at it, like you said, Travis, Avery Bradley, you can kind of – we can work with that. And the reason we can work with that, what's Avery Bradley, 6'5"?
No.
Yeah.
No?
I mean, he's 6'5".
Okay.
He's 6'3".
Okay,
6'3".
So 6'3 dudes are walking through the door every other day.
I'm 6'2".
Footers? They not walking through the door. They big for a reason. They playing in the NBA for a reason. You know, and so when you think about losing to Dwight, you can't – you lose Avery Bradley, we grab J.R. Smith, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, oh, okay, we got a couple of them on the couch. We can go grab them. You lose that big with them wide shoulders, you ain't finding another dude with couch shoulders. It's not happening. it's just not – you're not – that's why – when he was talking about it initially, you could hear the hesitation in Frank Vogel's voice as well as Rob Pelinka about replacing him. It's like, well, you know, we're gonna stick to our stuff. We just gonna do what we do because you ain't got what tree you shaking. You shaking a tree and ain't nothing falling out. You go and you shake a tree for a guard. We can go get a guard. That's easy.
Yeah, I mean, and the roster is already pretty flush at that position anyway. And, you know, to your point, Key, it's not that, you know, there's a ton of skilled 6'3", 6'2 guys walking through the door, but it's certainly a lot more of them that you can go out and grab.
You can go get you a guard.
They found two. They went and got J.R. Smith. They went and got Deion Waiters, and those guys can fill in. And even if those guys weren't available, if you just had to just pluck Avery Bradley out of the mix altogether,
What's the player that we wanted? Who was that we wanted that came to the game, but he wound up not signing with us?
Collison.
Collison. Oh, yeah. He's even on the streets. You see what I'm saying?
So yeah, but he didn't come off the streets though.
I understand that, but you can find that dude. We can't find big shoulders. We just can't.
Here is Dwight last night on CNN making the announcement.
I know for one, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, I've had the opportunity to work on during this break. But you know, I know basketball will most likely resume. And, you know, I feel like we have a great opportunity. The Lakers do for winning the title this year.
So let me ask you this, because I made it plain last time and I want to make it plain again. You said this is not about you not wanting to play basketball.
It's not about that, because, you know, Don, you know, I have an obligation.
You're going
to
play.
I have a contractual obligation to my teammates, to my fans, the Lakers, the organization, and everyone. But at the same time, I also have an obligation to my family and my community. So, yes, I will be joining my team in Orlando.
So there you go. He's going to be joining the team in Orlando. It's funny to hear him say, you know, I have a contractual obligation. He does, I guess, but we've seen other players opt out. Had he decided he did not want to go, he could have not gone. I mean, that's other players have had similar decisions as well that have opted out, whether it's for medical reasons or otherwise. But it wasn't like you have to come or else. He did have options to not play. He decided to play, and that's great news.
It is great news for a couple reasons, as LZ mentioned a minute ago.
Somebody's got their TV on.
You guys are,
or they've got their auto player on or something.
Y'all shouldn't be doing. But
research.
When you look at why he's going, what he's doing, also with the money, I mean, all of those sort of things, I'm sure, helped it make it easier for him to want to participate for the Lakers, winning a championship, making sure his family was taken care of, donating his rest of his 2019-2020 salary. And I'm sure you will start to see other players, after Dwight's announcement, start to see a trickle-down effect, whether it's his charity or other charities. They're going to be players that say, you know what, I'm going to donate my salary.
All right, Patrick Mahomes got signed yesterday to a nearly $500 million deal. What does that mean for the other quarterbacks that are coming up next? Keel, tell us next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. How's $450 million sound? As high as $503 million. That's what Patrick Mahomes could get over his 10-year deal with the Chiefs. And this is, like we were talking about a minute ago, guys, this one just feels right for a million different reasons. He's an MVP recently. He's a Super Bowl champion as of this moment. He's a guy that seems to be universally well-liked by both really intense football fans, casual football fans, by the league, by his opponents. That if you're going to give a dude $500,000 and the keys to the kingdom, this is the guy to do it, because he's 24 years old. He feels like we're just starting to scratch the surface, and he's already arguably the best player in that league.
Yeah, and the thing is he could have been two-time Super Bowl, two-time MVP. I mean, clearly he's taking it to the next level, and Andy Reid and Kansas City Chiefs seeing that. And when you go back to the beginning or the start of the Super Bowl, when Mr. Hunt said that they were not interested in even dealing with Patrick Mahomes' contract. It'll come when it comes. That's an owner that is going to, much. I don't know if you guys remember, but like I said way back when, he's going to get a deal done just based on what the owner said. When owners say they're not worried about a contract, it'll get done when it get done, that's because you're working on how to get it done. You don't need to explain yourself, because when it hits the market and the public, that will explain it for you. It's huge. This just shows that an owner to me, after sitting down thinking about it, that an owner to me knows that this is his quarterback of the future, and he has no reservation whatsoever about who this particular player is and who he's going to be in the future for the organization, because they did the deal, and they did it for 10 years, which essentially turns into a $12 million deal, because he had 2 years left on the deal. They didn't set any, you know, oh, well, you got 2 years left on your deal. We're not going to do it right now. You got to wait. They got it done.
Because they have a guy they like, unlike Dallas, who has a guy that they kind of like. And they're waiting to see what that is. We'll get to Dak in a second. But, Keith, you tell me if this is right.
Why are we getting to Dak in a second? Dallas already said what they said. He ain't Patrick Mahomes. He ain't like that.
No.
That's what Dallas is saying.
They've been saying it for 2 years. They've been saying it for two years.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're in no rush to get that done. We'll come back to him in a second. Patrick Mahomes is the best young quarterback, the most polished young quarterback, the guy who's, when you look at him and you try to project 10 years down the road, again, he's 24 years old. If you just try to project what it's going to look like at 34, it feels a lot to me, Key, like he's going to look at 34 like he looks at 24. Only maybe the athleticism has dipped a little bit, but this is not a guy that's predicated entirely on athleticism. He makes really good decisions. He's got that big arm. He doesn't take a lot of hits. He just has an incredible amount of presence about him that if there's a guy that you could sign up for 10 years, this is the guy, because I don't remember. We've seen good young quarterbacks. We've seen guys show up like Lamar Jackson, MVP last year, and deserved it every bit of the way. I'm not giving Lamar Jackson a 10-year deal because I just don't know what that's going to look like in 10 years. With Patrick Mahomes, I'd love – if, you know, 10, 12, whatever, sign me up for this guy for as long as I can, because I've not seen this guy at this age before in this league.
If you said to me, okay, I like Patrick Mahomes, but I like Deshaun Watson too. And Deshaun Watson hasn't – I think Deshaun Watson is held back by Bill O'Brien. That's what I think. But he's got some talent. He's got some stuff. He got some of that Houdini in him too. You know, Patrick Mahomes is slightly above him though, because he's won a Super Bowl. You know, he's got an MVP, but he's also got the right coach in Andy Reid. When you got the right stuff situated, your stuff can shine and you can show who you are. When you got Eric Bieniemy dialing up plays for you, you know, that's the one thing that you got to realize, man, right time, right place, right situation with the NFL and players. You know, if he goes to Chicago, Patrick Mahomes, instead of Mitch Trubisky, what's that? Right?
Who knows, right?
What is that? And the reason I'm saying this is, you look at how fast the Mitch Trubisky thing took a turn for the worse, where how fast Patrick Mahomes has gotten it and click. If Andy Reid decides to retire tomorrow, I'm not worried about Patrick Mahomes, because Andy Reid has given him so much from a mental standpoint on how to play the position. It wasn't Cliff Kingsbury. It's Andy Reid. Don't sure. Give me the Cliff Kingsbury. Oh, well, you know, he tutored him, he coached him. Man, that dude don't even run the same offense, same nothing. His mechanics ain't even the same. So when you look at that, you look at these other quarterbacks, you say, well, you know, Deshaun Watson's right there. It's just that I think Bill O'Brien was hiding a little bit behind Tom Brady when he was the offensive coordinator. So it made everybody assume that he was like this genius of an offensive mind, where it hasn't shown up to me in Houston.
Well, I feel like everyone learned something from their previous teachers. So I'm not going to totally dismiss, you know, Cliff Kingsbury and what his influence could be. But there's no question that, you know, Andy Reid is a bona fide quarterback whisperer. Whether you were broken and needed repair, whether there was nothing wrong with you and you just needed your talents to shine, no matter what the scenario, he's found a way to maximize that position. And this is a testament to him as much as it is a testament to Patrick Mahomes and what he brings to the table. With that all being said, I am curious as to how the rest of the league now responds, because you hadn't had an answer for this man for two seasons. And by all intents and purposes, he's just getting started. So I don't know if we're looking at the rewriting of all the history books. You know, we were no longer mentioning Manning's name. We no longer were mentioning Breeze's name, because it's all going to stay Mahomes, Mahomes, Mahomes. But I do know that this league has essentially handed that young man the keys to the franchise, to the league, and not the entire sports world. When you look at all the people that responded to the contract, the highest North American sports contract in history, all the people got their eyes on him. He has the keys. He can do whatever the hell he wants as of right now. I'm just really fascinated that in the midst of all of this chaos, the keys to the sports kingdom has been handed to a 24-year-old black man.
But it just seems like such a safe bet. It just, because like you just said, it doesn't feel like we're going to be sitting here 5 years from now and looking at Patrick Mahomes and saying, oh, well, remember when we thought he was the next big thing? It just does not feel artificial or inflated in any way at all. It seems entirely legitimate.
Well, yep. And that just speaks to what I was saying, though, LZ. I wasn't saying you can't learn anything from your former teacher. You're going to certainly take some stuff away from that. But your game from the NFL, from college to the NFL, has transformed something. It's something totally different than it was in college. Andy Reid has been the guy who can take me and you and turn us into Super Bowl potential quarterbacks when we can't even play the position. And I've seen him do it too many times. Now Eric Bieniemy is there, which I'm assuming is probably going to be the heir apparent as the next head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs whenever Andy Reid steps down, because it's a perfect situation. Why not? Why not be that guy like in other spots like they do, and Andy Reid will probably do this with him. So you're going to still have the same voice in your head for a long period of time, but when you are a guy like Deshaun Watson, you have so much turmoil with your organization and your head coach wearing two hats that you're not getting the same sort of tutelage that you would get with a guy like an Andy Reid, or maybe even a guy like a Kyle Shanahan if you was with him, you know, or a Josh McDaniels if you was with him, opposed to a guy trying to manage the offensive line, the salary cap, the defensive backs, the running back, the quarterback. He's trying to do everything instead of focusing in solely on that position.
Well, this goes back to something, the conversation we had, I don't know, a few months ago, but pre-quarantine for sure, when we were talking about, does it feel like the entire AFC is going to run through Kansas City for the foreseeable future? And I think the Chiefs just said, yeah, we think it is, because with that contract, because there's nothing about this that feels like, oh, if this team, if Baltimore does this, if New England does that, and I'm not saying that the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl 10 years in a row. That's not the point. The Patriots didn't even do that. But what the Patriots did was they were in the Super Bowl 9 out of 20 years, and in the years that they weren't there, they were always in somebody's way. You had to go through them, and that's what it feels like with this guy, this coach, this team, and the way that they're set up. And I know that he's got a ton of skill players around him, but those feel like guys that maybe you could find other replacements. That if you've got this guy that comes out, and like Travis Kelce, for instance, a really, really good player that's very, very important to what they do. But if he decides to go somewhere else, or he, you know, retires or whatever, you could find another guy like that. The Mahomes piece is the piece that you just cannot find, that doesn't come around very often. And they realize that, they see that, and that's why he got that deal that he got.
If you the Chicago Bears, though, how you miss? I just don't get it. Yeah. How you miss on that one?
You don't think Trubisky's going to get $500 million? You don't think they're getting ready to write that deal in the way?
Well, isn't it a combination too? It's they didn't get Mahomes, but they also don't have a space or a coaching staff that could develop him into much of anything.
Well,
no.
I get it. I get it right now. Right. I mean, I got that, but. At the time,
they screwed up Mahomes, man.
That's what I said, though. You knucklehead, if you was listening.
The Bears saved a lot of.
The Bears saved Patrick Mahomes' career along the way as well. All right, let's do this. The Dodgers' schedule came out yesterday, and it is incredibly favorable for the guys in blue. It is just an unbelievable schedule for them. I'll explain what it is next. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Believe it or not, guys, we are just a little bit more than 2 weeks away from the beginning of the Major League Baseball season. The Dodgers will kick off opening day against the Giants, 7 o'clock on ESPN. They open with the Giants, a 4-game series at Dodger Stadium, and that's coming up on July 23rd. July 7th today, the 23rd, we're going to have Major League Baseball, and that is the beginning of what I would argue is the most favorable schedule you're ever going to see for any team in any sport, because the Dodgers, put simply, really don't play anybody good in the 50 games that they're going to play, with a couple of exceptions. I mean,
nobody,
look, here's what
nobody.
It is, right? They have 9 opponents, okay? They play the 4 other teams in the National League West, and they play the 5 teams in the American League West. Of those 9 opponents, 3 of them have a winning record from last year. Arizona was 85-77, so barely over 500. Oakland, 97-65, they're a good team. Houston was really good at 107-55, but we know what that means. Everyone else they play was not only under 500 last year, but way under 500 last year.
And Houston, they're not going to be able to cheat with poor Dusty this year. not that Dusty was cheating. So, you know, I want to make that clear. It's when you look at it, it's a situation that's set up for success. But remember, it's not regular season success that we've had. We won, what, 8 in a row?
Seven.
Seven in a row. We won seven. Well, I counted this year as 8. you think about it, that hasn't been our problem, right? Our problem has been the few games in the postseason. That's it. So
yeah, no, the regular season, it has, but like we've talked about before, in the 60 games to open the season, 50 games to open the season the last couple of years, over the 7 years that they've won, they only would have won the division twice. They would have gotten into the playoffs 4 times, twice as a wild card, twice as a division champion. This kind of really neutralizes what we're talking about, because here's who they don't play. They don't play the Atlanta Braves, really good National League team. You don't play the defending World Series champs, the Nats. You never see them. You don't see St. Louis, who won the division. You don't see Milwaukee, who's a team that gave them a trouble in the postseason a couple of years ago. You don't see the Chicago Cubs. You don't play the other 5 best teams in the National League. You get your division, which stinks, and you get the American League West, which has 2 pretty good teams, and then 3 teams that just are not very good at all. So even if you do have that hiccup that we're all afraid that could happen to any of these 30 teams, the hiccup isn't going to last very long because you're just not playing good teams.
Yeah, you know, it's so weird because obviously we spent a great deal of time over these past 2 weeks lamenting the fact that a 60-game season could produce all kinds of weird results, and that we've pointed out examples in which the Dodgers would have been outside of the playoffs in previous seasons if it had ended at 60 games. Now I find myself, Travis and Key, wondering, okay, it looks like we're definitely going to get in, but do we know how good we are? Because if all you do is keep beating up on little brother, once you get into the ring with the real heavyweights, you haven't really been battle tested currently. All your battle testing happened, you know, months ago, a year ago. Now it's like, okay, we keep winning 11-2. Are we that dominant or are they that awful? And it's been a minute since we've been in a tied score at the bottom of the ninth and had Kenley on the mound. It's been a minute, you know, and I know that's, you know, a lot of this when you're at this level of professionalism, it's like riding a bike. But even in riding a bike, if you haven't ridden a bike in a minute, you don't forget how, you just got to get reaccustomed to it. And I'm just a little nervous that having too much of a powder puff sort of schedule won't have us sharp as we need to when the playoffs actually start.
Well, I don't worry about that at all, because baseball is baseball, and it's gonna come and go as it's supposed to. And I think when you look at the Dodgers, they've had so much success in the regular season that they'll continue to have that success even in the shortened season. And I know, Travis, that you worry about it being shortened, and you'd worry about turning on the switch, and you worry about all of those sort of things because you don't hit your peak till, you know, all-star post-break when teams really start to turn it up. With that being said, you know from a mental standpoint where the season begins and where it's going to end in a shortened season, and you don't have the time to mess around. I almost said something else around, but you don't have time to mess around and play games that you got to get it right. Whether it's your pitching going 3 innings, your starting pitcher going 3, and then another guy going 2, and another guy going 1, you have to change with the times, and this is why a lot of it is going to be heavily placed on the shoulders of the skipper.
Yeah, no, he's got a lot on his plate, and like you talked about, Keith, one of these things to kind of ease into it and figure out what you're doing. One thing the Dodgers are not going to get to do in this format is settle any scores. They play the Astros in their second series. They go to Houston on July 28th and 29th. And of course, you know, under the original schedule, they were not scheduled to play them at all. The Astros come to Dodger Stadium middle of September on the 12th and 13th as well. So they're going to play them 4 times. I think we all thought that not only the Dodgers, but that everybody that had an opportunity would be looking to settle scores against Houston, would be looking to say, oh, okay, you guys did this. will get ready for this. We saw Dusty Baker at the beginning of spring training already start the process of, hey, do not let them take advantage of us. They can't just go teeing off on our guys because they're angry. Baseball, you need to protect my guys like you protect everyone else. Because the schedule's so short, because every game matters, you can't mess around. I almost said something else. You can't mess around with this and try to settle a score by hitting Alex Bregman or Carlos Correa or Altuve or any of these guys, because right. one of these games might make a difference. If you get suspended during a short 60-game season, usually, you know, okay, you got a three-game suspension, so whatever, I'll take a three-day weekend and keep it moving. Now, three games, that's a significant portion of the season. So the Astros dodge another bullet because you can't settle scores with these guys this season because the games are too important.
Not only that, though, Travis, you know what's so funny? You can't settle, like, as a player, we can't knock somebody out with a 78 mile an hour changeup and hit him right in his elbow. We can't do that, right? Because it's too important.
Right.
But guess who else misses out on all of this? The fans. We don't even get a chance to boo.
Right.
We're going to have to boo through the TV and hope they hear
it. Well, but we can't, maybe, you know, around here it might be loud enough that they might.
But you know what we can do? And this is for all my Dodger fans and everybody that is against the Houston Astros. We could always align Sunset Boulevard going up Stadium Way with signs and stand out there at the bus turn, the corner to go into the stadium, right? We could always protest in front of the stadium.
It's so terrible, man. First of all, they refuse to acknowledge they cheated. And then
Raj, where's that song at, man?
And then they hold a press conference where they, you know, basically just thumb their nose at the world. Then, two, they drag out Dusty Baker, knowing good and well the black man that everybody loves is going to give him some cover.
Now he's really giving him some cover.
Exactly. Now they Black Lives Matter and everything else. They just hold on Dusty. So now I can't get real mad at him because I don't want to disrespect Dusty and everything that he's done and what he represents. So I'm like,
oh, I can't.
Damn.
Look, Dusty had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, Dusty ain't got nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
No, Dusty got nothing to do with it, but still – when you boo and stuff, you still booing Dusty. Dusty's part of the organization. They dragged him and made him sit at the table.
No, you can separate the boo.
No, I can make that distinction in my mind very easily.
Are you guys crazy?
No, I can't too.
Boos are like cigarette smoke. You don't go to smoking section and it just stays there.
Dusty
will hear the boos too, and he'll know why they're booing. And he knows that he signed up to manage a team that's been cheated.
Proven,
and he signed up. And he signed up for that. So he wasn't involved with the cheating, but he agreed to sign up with a team that did cheat.
Well,
so he's a part of it. And then number three, the other part that's awful about it is that, to Key's point, now we can't even boo him anyway. We got to boo him from the bar with two people in it because of social distancing.
Yeah, the booing is one thing. And look,
we could always go hang out on Stadium Way as they enter the stadium.
I'm not saying it's nothing, but I guarantee you Jose Altuve was far less concerned with the three of us sitting in the 10th row booing him than he was about Walker Buehler putting one in his back. I guarantee it. That's the part that he didn't want to deal with. And now, because of the schedule, he doesn't have to deal with it. It's too important. Walker Buehler can't get suspended. Walker Buehler can't miss a game because the schedule is too tight. So these guys miss out. The booing, sure, that sucks, and I wanted to do it too. But the vengeance that was going to come because of what they did, that at least is put on hold. And by the time you come back in 2021, if there is baseball in 2021, the passion to even that score will have dissipated immeasurably. I mean, they're just you can't stay mad for that long, I wouldn't think.
Score.
I mean,
in the score right now, I want to know what the results are of the snake draft, because you ain't said nothing about it, Travis. So that means you in dead last.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I was making a move yesterday. We will look at the results of the snake draft, and we've seen players opt out of the reboot. How about an entire team saying, you know what, we don't think so? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, LZ's top 10 is coming up in just a couple of seconds, but don't forget, you've got a little bit more time to go vote in yesterday's snake draft, our favorite toys from when we were kids. It is neck and neck and neck, so make sure that you get your vote in. Make sure that that happens. LZ, what do you got for us today?
Well, gentlemen, as you know, the sports world is very focused in on Patrick Mahomes and his new contract, and for good reason. He is now the highest paid athlete on the field in North American history. But I'm pulling together a top 10 list that comes from Forbes' highest paid athletes in the world. Now, we assume next year Patrick Mahomes is going to be in the top 10, but this year he is not in the top 10. So I've ranked the guys who are in the top 10 highest paid athletes, not based upon their salaries and the money they brought in, but I've ranked them based upon their snap, crackle, pop as compared to their salaries. So these are the highest paid athletes with the snap, crackle, and pop. Coming in at number 10, Kirk Cousins. Now, the only reason why Kirk Cousins is on the list is because he has to be, because he's in the top 10. There is no snap. There is no crackle. And in the playoffs, he always gets popped. So I don't really necessarily think that anyone's going to miss him when he falls out of the top 10 next year. But if you happen to be a diehard Kirk Cousins fan, well, God bless you. Number 9 is his not too far distant cousin in terms of lack of snap, crackle, pop. And that's Carson Wentz. Again, Carson Wentz is only on this list because he's paid like that. And so he's in the top 10, but he ain't got no snap, no crackle. And he doesn't even make it in the playoffs, so he gets popped beforehand. Number 8, Neymar. Mm. Now, there are three soccer players in the top 10. From a monetary perspective, he is much higher than number 8. But when I compare him to the other two names, he
Messi, Ronaldo.
Yeah, he ain't in that group.
You're right. I'm a Brazil guy, but he's underachieved.
He's not in that group. He's number 4 in terms of pay, but he ain't.
He's got some pop though. He's got some pop. That's why
he's on the ground more than anything.
Like the little kind of.
No, he's small.
Gumby
he's,
haircut.
Yeah. Small, nice hair.
Yeah, that's
very handsome.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't kick him out the bed or nothing like that, Raj. I'm just saying he ain't got the snap like a pop. Number 7, Kevin Durant.
You starting to lose.
Move along.
I already moved along. Where are you guys? I already said Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, number 7 on the list. Obviously, the first NBA player represented. You know, Kevin could be higher in terms of snap, crackle, pop if he stopped popping his own pipe. By all this pettiness and back and forth with Kendrick Perkins or some 5-year-old in the basement of their home in Oklahoma. he could be so much more, but because he can't get out of his own way, I only have him down as number 7. Number 6, he's got the snap and he's got the pop, but he refuses to crackle. And that's Messi. He does no media, like none. It's almost impossible to get him media in general. And he definitely doesn't like doing U.S. English-based media. That's the only thing he's missing, right, is the crackle. He's one of those dudes that could easily walk into a mall in certain parts of this country and no one would know who the hell he is. And given his skill set, and how much money he actually has, he's number 3 on the list. He should be higher, but because he doesn't do any media, eh. Number 5. Is the guy who's number 1 on the list, Roger Federer, but he doesn't have the snap, crackle, pop in the United States. But he's got it everywhere else. I mean, the guy, well, basically, he speaks every language on the planet, so that helps. But I have not been in a stadium in a good 10 years where he's played and there was a conflict with the crowd. Even when he's in America and he plays Americans, or even I was in London and they hadn't won a Wimbledon in like 90 years and they were still cheering for Roger Federer to beat Andy Murray. That's how much the man is loved. Number 4, Steph Curry.
Yeah.
He's paid. He's got the snap, crackle, pop. He's got the family. He's got presidents on the phone. He's doing interviews with Dr. Fauci. You know, he changed the game. He changed the entire league. Steph Curry has the snap, the crackle, and the pop.
I'll tell you what. Steph Curry is one of those guys that I just want to watch. You know what I mean? And like you said, all the stuff off the court and the influence that he has. But he's just such a unique talent. We've seen other great shooters, but you just mentioned a minute ago. He's the only guy that came in, and the game was decidedly different pre- and post-Steph Curry. There's only a handful of guys that have done that. And to do that at 6'3" is extraordinary.
Absolutely extraordinary. You know, the thing that's even crazy, too, is that when you think about when LeBron James went back to Cleveland and he traded away Andrew Wiggins to get Kevin Love.
He didn't make that trade. They did that trade. How can you empower the player? Players aren't empowered.
He constructed a team and didn't know that Steph Curry was coming. Because had he known Steph was coming, that roster would have been constructed differently.
He'd have traded for him.
Well, might have traded for him, but he just would have constructed a roster differently. Wouldn't have been Kevin Love, that's for sure.
All right.
Coming in at number three, he's got the snap. He's got the pop. His crackle doesn't crackle for me, but Tiger Woods crackle for a lot of people, so I'm going to give it to him. Tiger Woods, he moves the needle. I don't know why, because he's born as hell, and hasn't done anything interesting that he wanted to do interesting anyway.
Yeah, nothing intentionally interesting, at least.
Exactly.
Here's why. I'm going to try this in 10 seconds. The reason he moves the needle is because you know it's true greatness. You know it's different than just he's the best player now.
Thank you, Bert.
He's the best player of all time. That's why he moves the needle.
I guess. I'm going to go with it. Number two is to find this man on the list. Don't take my word for it. Take his. Ronaldo. I have never seen a man love up on himself since Alex Rodriguez was kissing that mirror in that details article that I never will forget.
That was weird.
That was weird. But Ronaldo loves him, so Ronaldo, man. I mean, the world loves him too, but that love doesn't compare for the love he has for himself. And number one, obviously, it's LeBron James. LeBron James moves the needle. He's in the conversation of the greatest of all time in his sport. He just racked up $100 million to get a media company going. He's remade Space Jam. He got Obama on his sail. He's got Warren Buffett on his sail. There's no one he can't reach through social media. LeBron James has snapped the crackle, the pop, the bag, everything. He's number one on the list in terms of Forbes' top 10 highest paid athletes. Not based upon the money, but based upon the sizzle.
Poor Kirk Cousins, 10 out of 10, and he had to be on because he had to be on.
Yeah, he shouldn't even been on the list.
Yeah, he was. All right, Dwight Howard made his decision, and it is great news.
Man, we still ain't talking about the snake draft. What's going on?
We'll get to the snake draft too, Key. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN.